Welcome everyone to Know Their Brand podcast, a podcast designed to champion and support gender inclusion in business. Welcome everyone. I'm Giulia, your host, a social entrepreneur dedicated to helping women in business. Join me and my fantastic guest to find out more about gender inclusion and to be inspired by their incredible stories.
Hello, everyone. Today, we have a very, very special guest. Special guest because Flo is the combination of my personal life and my professional life. As my audience know, I am a coach at rugby, and today I'm very excited to have with me Flo Williams, which is a player, a rugby player for the Wasps in the UK. But also Flo works with a sport marketing agency called Matter as a women's sports lead. And Flo is a great advocate for equality in sports. So welcome, Flo.
Hiya, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to start talking about all matters, women and sport, because you clearly are an expert. Would you like to start a little bit from your background, what you do? I'll introduce a bit what you do in as a job title, but what that actually means, and a bit about your experience in rugby.
Cool, yeah. So I've played rugby since I was about 8 years old, and I started off at like my local club, Aylesford Bulls in Kent, and sort of I came along one of those like bring a buddy days, and I was like the only girl that was there. The only other sort of women who were on the field were the mums and probably the catering staff back in the clubhouse. But it didn't really bother me because I was just enjoyed running around, and like I'd tried like every sport at that age, and unfortunately the more delicate sports, shall we say, didn't quite stick, but rugby did. And I carried on playing rugby throughout university, club level, county level, representational level, went through to Loughborough University, where not only was rugby something that I continued to stay fit because I enjoyed like the elite side of it, but I actually formed about 90% of my friendships at university through rugby. And it's, I think, it's a big thing that girls miss out on at school age. Like 45% of girls age 14 to 16 drop out of sport because they feel judged or they don't feel comfortable and it's not a place for them. And then suddenly they get to university and they're like, oh my God, I need to meet new people, and everyone starts playing sport again. Okay. And I think it's really cool to see that rugby is jumping on the back of that trend. It's just starting rugby at the age of 18 is it makes it difficult to progress into the elite level. Not saying you can't do it, but it'd be nicer if we had more girls playing at the age of like 12 and 13 as well. Continued playing at Loughborough, played at Lichfield for a bit, Loughborough Lightning when they got a premiership franchise, and then moved down to London and joined Wasps about 4 years ago. And alongside that, I was experiencing on the field some inequality, shall we say, some, like quite a lot of inequality in what I was doing. And was then also studying graphic design and illustration at uni, and then sort of put those two passions together and took the skills that I learned from a communication design and marketing point of view and the experience that I had in women's sport and like put them together. And I initially launched my business, The Perception Agency, back in 2019 to try and bridge that gap of a perception change that needed in women's sport through marketing. So I felt that that was a way of doing that. I did that for a couple of years, got some really cool opportunities from that, and then freelanced with Matter for a little bit, and then got a job as women's sport lead at Matter, which has just sort of propelled my my experience and who I get to work with, because they're working with the likes of the RFU, World Rugby, the England Cricket Board, the FA, ATP Tennis Series. So it's pretty cool to be able to do that with Matter and do it from a women's sport lead point of view as well.
Wow, it's fantastic. I mean, starting with rugby and then finding your passion, rugby, sports, equality, inclusion through marketing. I mean, I can resonate with that because my marketing background, but you're doing amazing. Now, you said that all of this started because you faced some major inequalities on the pitch and I suppose also outside the pitch. What do you think are the, can you share with us some of the challenges that women face in sport in general, but particularly obviously in rugby?
I think there's challenges that come from like a really, really like on the ground level. So at my home club, you would fight to get time on the first team pitch. You would fight to get like sometimes training facilities or support from the governing within the club. So like the club would have a certain amount of money, and even though a women's team might outperform a men's team, you'd get a lot less money, even though technically you were far, far superior. And then you're struggling to get facilities and kit and people down to the games and advertising of the team and all the rest of it. It's even as simple as like you walk into a clubhouse and like the walls are covered, plastered with pictures of men and honours of men and jerseys of men and blah, 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 which is great. And it's inspiring for rugby, but like what, there's nothing that tangible that inspires me, because I can't go, wow, imagine me being there, because there's no one who looks like me there. And like, this is changing, and it's changed so much even in the last 10 years. It's so good. But how much you have to fight to just be considered like allowed to play, or like you should be in that place, in a, like just in a rugby club, for example, is training. And I think there's so many barriers and hurdles for girls to be able to like hop over to be able to get to that elite level that the funnel just gets like more and more narrow. So like for a 16-year-old boy playing rugby to be the captain of your school first team is really desirable. You'd be like king of the school. Everyone would think, oh, you're so cool. And then to get into academy, it'd be so celebrated. Everyone would be like, oh my god, did you hear they're in an academy, blah, blah, blah. You go to a game, there's tons of people at the game, and then someone starts, you start getting paid at age 18, blah, 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 and it's all like desirable, like it's what you want. But then for a girl, like you turn up to, firstly, to go to a rugby session, if we use rugby as an example, your school, okay, there isn't actually a rugby team at my school, so that's your first barrier. You've got to go look for it. Okay, where is my, oh, it's bloody miles away. Okay, mum and dad have got to take me to the get to a training. So that's another barrier, that there's an opportunity for a hurdle there, that if you don't make it, you drop, you lose people. Then you get to the club and there might only be 10 girls at training. Oh, we can't field a team this weekend. There's another barrier, you want to drop out. Then you come back to school and you tell your friends that you're playing rugby, and they go, oh, rugby, do girls play rugby? Or the boys take the piss out of the girls for playing rugby, because it's not a girl's sport, it's a boy's sport. And then your other friends are probably not playing sport because it's not cool to play sport. So you might feel like, oh, I'd rather go hang out with my friends. So then you lose people at that point. Then your schoolwork gets important and you're like, oh, I want to have a good job, or I want to get into university. Okay, well, rugby's never not a career, so I'll stop. That's not desirable. I'll stop playing rugby. So there's all these points at which you then lose girls. And then by the time, if they make it to a, maybe a premiership standard or elite level, the pressure of being able to, right, I've got to be at training 4 or 5 nights a week, 4 or days a week, including games. You'll give up your whole weekends. Your friends aren't on the same schedule as you. You've got a job that's competing with it. It's taking up more and more time. And if you get injured, are you covered the entire time? And are you going to miss out on other things? And then alongside that, you've got the whole of society going, rugby isn't a girl's sport. So you have to be so resilient and so thick-skinned to get over all of those barriers that I think that the people who then make it to the elite level and can look past all of that, they're all very similar. And that's why some of my best friends are, and people I get on with so well, are all playing elite rugby, because you have to be a certain type of person who can overcome all of those hurdles and make it to the end. But there's just so many opportunities for someone to go, actually, no, this isn't for me. Even if they could be amazingly talented, but there's so many opportunities where there's a barrier that you just can't overcome. Whereas for boys, I just feel like there are far less barriers. It's almost actually the opposite. It's like, it's a positive. Like every time you go up a level, it's more desirable. Whereas in the girls' game, that every time you go up a level, it's actually using more of your time for maybe less tangible reward other than you love the game. So for me, there's some of those barriers on like quite a real level.
I can totally relate to that. I mean, I'm definitely not an elite sport, and I grew up more on a football background. But if you look at football, especially in a country like Italy, where it's quite conservative now, female football is finally becoming something acceptable. But when I grew up, I wasn't even allowed to play in a football team. There was no football team for girls. So I was playing because my best friend is a boy and would let me play with him.
Yeah. But
otherwise, you know, there was
what
no.
Yeah,
what do you do? And then, and I love what you say. So with men, I mean, I love, I hate it, but it's very true. The men, the more they progress, especially in sports that are less traditionally feminine, like the more they progress, the more desirable, you know, the sport becomes. And while for women, the more they progress, the more, you know, it's less desirable, the more challenges you need to face.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's easy for guys by any standard. Like it's not. Obviously it's challenging as you go up, but I think as the challenges increase, the rewards increase for men, and whether that be you get more support around you in terms of staffing, or you start getting paid, or the respect of people that you know. Like if a guy makes it into an academy, like I'm pretty sure their whole family and friends go, wow, he's doing really well, isn't he? Whereas like if for a girl to make it into an academy level or to make it into a premiership team, if people were even aware that they were doing that, it's just far less celebrated. And it's like if you had a brother and a sister and they both got to the same level, unfortunately, I feel like the brother would be getting all of the kudos and the celebration and wow, you really made it, that's a real career, blah blah blah. And then the girl would just be like, oh, she's just doing it for fun. And that's what it is challenging.
But there is also another problem, because at least from what I, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is, okay, rugby was amateurial for the longest time, but now it's professional sport, and male players get paid, so they don't have to work and train, while only few female players in rugby in the UK and some other countries, but not all countries, get paid to be professional sports women.
Yeah.
So they,
yeah.
Like, I imagine your case is the same. So you work to support yourself, plus you train every night, every day, or I don't know what time you train, plus you have the games. So that leaves very little space for anything else, I imagine.
And like I often say, some female athletes who make it to the elite level are not actually necessarily the people who are the most talented, but they're the people who are the best at juggling stuff. So you just, you see so many people who are super, super talented athletes, but they just don't quite make it because you have to be so self-disciplined. I'm not saying the men don't, but you have to be a lot more self-motivated and driven and be able to juggle so many different aspects of your life, because you're not in an academy from age 18 where your week is laid out for you to be the best rugby player you can. You're probably age 18 and you're going into university and you're having to juggle rugby around that. And obviously some male players do that as well, but predominantly with academy systems in place where players are getting supported financially, or if they're associated to a club, they're at least getting a little bit of financial support. It does make that juggle a little bit easier. But there are so many people who can't work that juggle out, or something has to give. And unfortunately, your career is the thing that you need to survive. So that's the one that wins. And would like you, with so many players I know now, yeah, they juggle well and they get it all done. But they always say like, well, I'm only ever operating at 70% at anything. I'm doing 70% of my career and I'm doing 70% at rugby, because I can't give it 100% because I have to do the other thing. And I just wonder where the elite game would be if people were able, everyone was able to give it to 100%. Obviously that's a financial issue and you can't fix that overnight, but we're not at the peak of the performance yet because so many people are having to do that balancing act.
Wow, that's a very interesting point that actually I think someone could consider if they want, you know, rugby and other sports to progress, because obviously you want to win as a team.
Yeah.
And okay, that's very interesting. So what kept you motivated? I mean, it's so tough. Like, how do you find your inner strengths, your resilience to keep on going despite all of these challenges?
I think because I grew up in an era where being a professional athlete, so like making a career out of being an athlete, was never really an option. I always had career aspirations outside of sport, and I never saw it as a career. So to stay motivated purely for the joy of the game and winning and competing and being the best, like doing the best that I can, has always been enough for me because it's never really changed. I think probably now more than ever, that's actually becoming difficult because more and more people around are able to make financial gain from rugby. So it's kind of weird how finance affects that, because like it's never been an issue before, but then suddenly when you're seeing that everybody else is getting a bit of money, you're like, oh, maybe I don't want to do it for nothing. But at the end of the day, like, that's all just chat, you know. Like when you come on the field, I don't think anybody gives it that little bit extra or gives it that little bit less because so-and-so is getting money. But motivation purely just comes from like self-improvement, really. Like I think I want to become better and I enjoy winning, and when you do it so much out of your own back, you want to enjoy it. So I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm giving up all of my time to do something I don't enjoy. So I do it to a level that makes it enjoyable for me. And so many of my friends and like my livelihood is around rugby now, that that's what motivates me, because I just want to stay part of that. And I think as soon as you step away from it and people retire, even though, yeah, they've got more time for the rest of their lives, you'll always remember that time that you were playing sport with those people. And I feel so lucky to be able to have lived a life where I've created all these memories and friendships and bonds and been to all of these events and been part of some really special teams and moments that you'll never get back. And there's, to be honest, like doing that at professional or not professional level wouldn't really change those moments. They'd still feel the same. You'd probably just have more of them if you were professional, because you'd be able to give more time to it. So that's the only thing. Like it's staying motivated is something that's not really been that hard for me, because it's always been the same for the same reason as when I started.
But yes, but on the other end, you also find a way to fight the inequalities you found. So that I think that's brilliant. You're not just saying, okay, they're not giving us the pitch this Saturday to train because the boys have it. Oh, it's fine. No, you found your voice, and I think it's brilliant. And I think it will be interesting for our audience to understand a bit more what a woman sports lead does in their daily job. So what is your job? Like, what do you do?
Obviously marketing sport has been like that industry has been around for a really long period, but women's sport has seen like a huge like surge in growth over the past like 8 or 9 years, and there's a lot more of it now. There's a lot more visibility of it. We're absolutely nowhere near where we need to be. Like say we were climbing Mount Everest, I'd say we're on a step ladder right now. So like, yeah, it feels really good because we're on top of that ladder, but when you look up, there's a long way to go. And quality marketing and amazing campaigns been around for a long time, but how to market women's sport in a way that progresses the game and gives us the identity and the visibility that it needs hasn't quite been there that long. And MATA has been sort of at the forefront of doing things in a way that has sort of shaped the landscape of women's sport. So being part of the Lionesses inception back in 2016, developing the Red Roses name for England women's rugby at a similar time, selling out Lords for the England Women's World Cup cricket final. They did the campaign Go Boldly into that, and they've sort of been part of marketing all of these moments that have led to like groundbreaking, record-breaking change. So to be able to work with an agency like MATA is really cool for me, because it opens doors into different sports and how can we create these moments that I've experienced in rugby, and then make sure that when we market other sports, we are doing it in a way that's not just like, okay, how do we do it for the men's team? Right, let's just put a woman on the front, done. It's like just understanding that the journey and the audience and the team, they're in a slightly different place. And as much as we want to put ourselves on a level playing field, you can't ignore the tone and like the experience of female athletes is slightly different. And how you market those sports can be different at times. And something like Wimbledon, for example, which is probably leading the way in terms of equality, you'd maybe pick a different way that you'd do that to the England women's rugby team compared to the men's team, because they're in quite different spaces. And I do feel that visibility is key, funding is key, but also marketing is massively key in women's sport, because if we want to grow audiences, you have to be able to, it starts at marketing. And I think you overlook the fact that the men's teams, the campaigns have got huge spends behind them, and they've got all these fancy campaigns leading up to it, and they've got these amazing films and all of this like amazing graphics on social media and in stadia graphics and all of that. And like the game itself actually might not be that great, but it's got all the shiny wrapping paper around it that women's sport has literally never had. So all the scrutiny on women's sport is what they do on the field, because it doesn't have the fluffy bits. Whereas now we're starting to get more budget and more experts creating campaigns around women's sport, that it's building the hype and it's building the momentum, and more people are excited. And sometimes the anticipation itself of a match is actually better than the game. And like women's sport needs a bit of that. And like what we're doing at Matter, it's great to have a role that's focused in on women's sport, because that's literally my job, is just to be there to make sure that we are either marketing to a female audience or marketing a women's sport team, competition, league, whatever it is, in a way that gains new audience members and inspires more people to play and to turn up and everything, because the rate of growth is really, really high. And maybe in men's sport, it's just about like maintaining crowds and interest. But in women's sport, it's about growing it across the board. And year after year, you break more records, you get more budget, you get more people wanting to play in, and it grows. And you can't just expect it to happen, because that's the trend. Like you have to actively go out and market that in a way that continues that growth. So that's sort of what I do in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. No, but it's amazing, because I mean, having a background in marketing, there is also often a misconception about marketing, or you're just, you know, overselling, or you're faking it, or, you know, it's like, but actually marketing can be very powerful for certain you know, objectives, apart from selling whatever you want to sell. But I think in this field, actually, is very exciting to watch, because, you know, I work in gender equality across many different industries. I have to say, in many industries, we're actually moving backwards. So where equality was getting better over the last 10 years, now we actually see less women, less representation of women, less, like, a lot more talking about it, but less actually effectively equal opportunities. But in sports, I personally have seen an incredible, you know, improvements. I mean, the Red Roses, now everybody talks about them, everybody knows who they are, or at least, okay, for people who are interested in rugby, maybe not for everybody, but at least, you know, we know who they are, and there is way more respect for a female game like that has ever been before. But definitely having to market it, like, as you say, to attract new audiences to these sports that otherwise will not even be considered as a sport or something you want to do. I mean, now when you watch the Red Roses playing, the stadium is full. Yeah. It's not like, you know, mom and daddy going to watch their daughter play.
And and that's the thing. Like we did at Matter, we did the campaign this year. We did a bit of a brand evolution for the Red Roses, and we did the hype film, and then the ad that sort of propelled each of those players' individual skills leading up into the Six Nations campaign. And that for us was about, how do we make these players heroes of the team? Because unfortunately, that not everyone is a household name who plays for the Red Roses yet. And you have to give a bit of an insight into, okay, so like Sarah Byrne's really strong, or Zoe Harrison's got a great boot or whatever. You have to give insight into that in the film, so that people, when they see it, they know what to expect. And you start associating these players with these skills, so we can sort of like accelerate their exposure and their awareness. So then when you come to the game, you have a bit of expectation of, okay, they're really good. I already know their names, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Because you've got to build that hype leading into matches, so that people have an awareness going in. But like before the game, they're like, oh, that they're expecting to see this. And when they get the ball, that everyone's eyes on them, because they know what they want to see. And when you're going to a game with that level of expectation, I think it increases the excitement, and more people want to be there to see that person. And more you're seeing fans turn up to see an individual rather than the team. Because of the use of social media these days, like you follow an individual's journey, you can really see it from like a behind the scenes point of view. So you go to the game because you want to see them. And that's something that we really wanted to do with the Red Roses, was to engage that younger audience who might be following the players on social media, give them a little bit of a sneak peek of what they might expect from each of them. So when they're more likely to want to go to the game, so they can see their favourite players doing the thing that they're really good at.
I think it helps with that. But there is another, I think, very positive effect. It's something you touched upon before. So you introduce this people, not just the sport, not just the team, but the individuals. And these individuals, they become role models. Yeah. Like you said before, when you walk into, and I know because, you know, we have the buvette as well. So like, you know, when you walk in there, you see only the picture of men, rugby player. I don't see myself. How can I even imagine to become an elite professional if I don't see anybody that looks like me? On this podcast, we spoke a lot about the importance of role model. And by creating this, snippet of individual players, I think you give the opportunity for girls to see specifically a woman, professional woman, and say, I want to become like her. But what about you? Because I think that you are a role model. Do you feel to be a role model? How do you?
Not massively, because I'm in it. I'm surrounded by so many people who would be role models to me within my sport still, that I think, I'm part of this era for sure, because I'm playing in it. But as individual role models, I think there's still not that many people who resonate beyond our team. Maybe I'm wrong, some in it, but for me, because I still have so many role models, even just within Wasps, there's role models within the team for me. I'm a bit like, well, who would I sort of, I wouldn't think I'd be a role model to too many people, because there's so much choice for me. Even just as teams, there'll be, even if you inspire like one or two people, like that's pretty cool. And it's definitely the rise of social media and the awareness of the games and more people coming to the games. I think there's a lot more opportunity for people to have role models because you've got access and there's visibility. So I think that's really cool. And the fact that young girls might be looking at the Prem now and being like, wow, that could be me playing in that stadium, or I'm going to be a professional rugby player when I grow up. Like, you wouldn't get a girl saying that 10 years ago because it was literally not even an option.
Exactly. That's why I'm so excited about sport, honestly, because 10 years ago, I was actively playing sport at the time. And definitely you will not see this at all. And now we see it. And I think you are a role model. I think that if anything, seeing girls like you really normalize in the eyes of society, the fact that women can be sportswomen and they don't necessarily have to play traditionally female sports, but they can play anything as long as they like it, they enjoy it, and they want to do it. Of course, the road is very long, as you said. You're at the top of the ladder, but there is the Everest still to finish, to climb. Yeah. But I think that the role that you and your mates are playing for the next generation is so important, just for them to be able to look at you and say, one day I might be able, like, you know, as I said, I coach rugby. I have girls, well, one in my team, and there are other girls in other teams. And they will see this, or they listen to this podcast, we will talk about it. And for them to be saying, so I can keep on playing, I don't have to stop, I can keep on going all the way up, I think is extremely important.
And also, I think just with being a woman in, like, being a woman in a male dominated sport, like being a female in a male dominated space, that's not the only place that exists. So sort of getting experience in playing rugby when you're in a space that is male dominated, which is probably one of the harshest places to be, because it really is super macho. Then when you're in similar situations elsewhere in life, like, you already know how to deal with it. So you might be in a work meeting and you're the only girl and there's eight men. Other women might feel totally uncomfortable with that situation, not able to talk up, out of place or whatever. And because you've experienced it so much with rugby, it doesn't faze you. And the ability to be the only one, or to be someone who's like not afraid to sort of step out of line and say what you want and be true to what you want, like have those confidence, have those communication skills, have those teamwork skills, and understanding that, yeah, there's no one else ahead of me doing this, but that doesn't matter because I'm used to being the only person. I think there's so many crossover skills into career and life that rugby prepares you for that is maybe less well documented. Like maybe that's the positive of being in a sport that's male dominated, is that unfortunately it's probably not going to be the only time in your life that you're in a male dominated space and you're actually really prepared for it. So it's, you're fine. I can't really, obviously I can't speak for other people, and maybe people do feel comfortable in that scenario, but I know that it phases me a lot less because I'm so used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we talk often about the importance of women to find their own voice and the confidence, because actually, if you're not used to be in such an environment, it can be intimidating. You know, when you get promoted and you are the first woman at a certain level and you are the only one, and you enter this meeting and there are, you know, all men looking at you, and actually not even looking at you because who are you anyway? you know, they're like, it can be intimidating. But there is another thing I see with coaching, is that the boys learn to respect the girls.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they treat, in my particular team, they treat our Stella, that's her name, yeah. And she's stellar, but, and in the same way they treat the other boys. Actually, she's one of the best players, yeah. And they really respect her, and they learn to look at her in the same way they look at anyone else. There is no, yeah, difference. I mean, there are different women, boys and girls are different, women and men are different, but on the skill level, especially because they are so young, they can still, you know, compete in the same way. And that's also why for me it's so important to be there as a female coach, not just for the girls but also for the boys, to learn that you respect male, yeah, coaches in the same way you respect female coaches, and there is no difference in respect, difference in styles, absolutely, but different in respect, you know, and the relationship we have with your coaches, no. So I think, as I say, I think you guys are doing an incredible job for the future generation. I have one final question for you,
sure,
very short. What would you say to a girl that wants to start rugby today, or a sport that is traditionally male dominated? What would be your word of advice?
Well, the character that you'll build and what you'll learn from playing a sport that is not built for you will serve you for life in terms of resilience, hard work, communication, friendships, because hardships create friendship. So if you're going through the same shit together and it is shit, sorry if you don't answer that.
It's okay.
If you're going through the same rubbish together and it is rubbish,
it's fine.
The bonds you build are far tighter, because like you can relate to something someone else is going through. And like, don't get me wrong, it's not hard. It's not like we're all sat like, oh my god, this is so crap. It's you just sort of get on with it and you learn to laugh at it. So then when life hits you with stuff as well, you don't, it's not that bad, because you learn how to deal with stuff, and you have some of like the best friends, the best time, and like you stay fit, and the level of respect that you learn from a game like rugby as well, it like just serves you well for life, and the friendships and everything on and off the field, like you can't really compare. And like it's quite nicely summarized that if you go and play a sevens tournament, you might turn up on it one Friday night and you don't know anyone in the team yet because you've just been invited to some sevens team. And the friendships you make over 2 days, I could not see these people for 2 years, but then you'd see them 2 years later and you'd still be cracking jokes with them like you've known them your whole life kind of thing. And I think that's what rugby does, that in a very short space of time, you can create bonds and friendships that last you forever, and connects you to the rest of the world, which maybe like other sports or like not playing sport, you can't do. So yeah, I just 100% do it, don't just be prepared for the crap you might get along the way.
Oh, you just got to grow big shoulders, and hopefully society will catch up soon enough,
yeah,
and support you. And with the job that you're doing and that Matter is doing, I think that we might get there a little earlier, hopefully.
Yeah, and I mean, like even now, girls growing up playing now, I see the opportunities they have, and like the fact that they can put on the TV and watch England women play, they go on social media and they see all these amazing posts and all these graphics, and like the girls look so cool, and you think, God, that's so inspiring compared to what I had when I was younger. So yeah, I think even now it's just so much better. So in 10 more years, it will be even more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's cross our fingers. And thank you for your time. Thank you for all the work you're doing to support female sport and women in sports. And thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
No worries.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please support us by liking it, by subscribing to our channel, and by sharing with your friends. It might seem such a small thing, but actually it will help us a lot.
And stop.